Hello and welcome to the Anatomic Fitness Podcast. I am your host, James Sutherland, and with me is that producer guy that whose name I can't recall right now. Jason, right?
Yeah, that's
Jason.
Me. That's right. Me. Yeah. Yeah. Way to just knock all my stuff over too, by the way.
Oh, well, look at that. How does this thing even... Anyways.
Just like that.
There we go. Anyways, how's it going?
Lousy.
Excellent. Well, that's a way to keep it positive around here. That's good. So we won't bore everybody with why it's lousy, but you'll be fine. Don't worry.
I know.
So, reading.
Been doing a lot of that lately.
I imagine you have.
Yes.
As have I.
Good.
Every morning.
We talked about this. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago, I think, is when we first touched on it. Yeah.
Kind of the training of the mind goes with the training of the body.
Yes. And Many of my clients will attest to that. I train the mind as well as the body.
You do, right?
Like, you have to work, you know, that's a lot of opposite body parts moving at the same time that you have to really think about while you're doing it.
Which is good.
Train the brain.
Because the brain, I mean, one part of it, this is kind of off topic what we're talking about, because we're talking about reading today. But if you just do the same motion over and over again, you don't really get, you might be working the muscle, but you're not getting as much of a gain out of it.
Yeah, you're not stimulating all the muscle fibers as well as if you have to really focus and pay attention to what you're doing.
Exactly.
Right.
And a good way to build focus
is meditation.
Yes.
And reading.
And reading.
There you go. Look at that. Hey, all that, the segues there.
Yeah.
All the way back to reading. So yeah. So like you said, you've been doing a lot of it. Like when is your preferred reading time or times?
I have a couple. Like I like to read in the afternoon. Usually like kind of when I finish the bulk of my work for the day, which you know is around kind of 2 and before my kid gets home from school, I like to sit down and read from like 2 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then at night, like I'm a before bed, you know, unless it's a weekend when I'm having a whiskey and watching something, I'll read from like, you know, 9 to 10:30 or something like that. Or even on a weekend, I'll read from like 7 to 8 if I'm home, and then I'll switch to the TV entertainment.
Ah, there you go.
Kind of thing.
I'm a morning reader.
A morning reader.
Yeah. And something I haven't even got to tell you recently is that in the last, I think 12 or 13 days, every morning when I'm getting up at 6 in the morning or 5:30, depending, you know, I get up, have a shower. I've meditated.
Well, you have?
I have for about 10 minutes every day.
Good for you.
Then I sit and read for an hour and a half, depending on what my day is looking like. So
you've intrigued me with the meditation. What are you doing to meditate?
Well, there's this app that I located called Balance, which is
a
very interesting app. And it's a paid app, but for some reason this year, I think they made it free for our first year because of all the turmoil in the world and that sort of thing. So I thought, well, hell, might as well give it a shot. And yeah, I'm on today was day 12. So it's been quite good. It's quite interesting learning a lot of different little techniques and learning that my big issue with it prior that we talked about was my mind going way off into Never Never Land and doing 100 miles an hour, and understanding through this that it's okay to do that as long as you recognize it and then bring your focus back to where it's supposed to be.
That's the big thing.
And that's, yeah, so that's what I've been doing. So yeah, so with that, I'll do that. Then I turn on some nice music and just sit and read for, again, an hour and a half, depending on what my day looks like. So
that's very good. And have you found then the combination of reading and meditation, have you noticed anything different in your mind?
Oh, a lot.
Yeah.
Better focus for the most part. And better comprehension, I believe, of what I'm reading, spirituality type stuff and that sort of thing. So it's stuff that can get pretty deep pretty quick. So it's, I found that doing that prior to allows my mind to open up a bit more and be more receptive and again, focus more so that it's, I'm not like reading for a page and going, what do I have to do today? Oh, I have to go do that. Oh, no. You know, I can just sit and focus and read and get, you know, usually half an hour at a time done without the brain wandering too much, which is a big deal for me.
That's huge.
It's about 5 minutes normally, and I'm going...
And I know a lot of people who don't read, who spend a lot more time doing digital stuff, which we can touch a bit on that, who they can't read, then they don't like to read because they get bored.
Yeah.
But they're not bored. Their mind's just wandering because they can't focus.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's a lack of focus. Right?
Which in this day and age, everyone's attention span is pretty much nil anyway.
Yeah.
Unless you're training yourself to maintain a better level of focus.
And a better level of focus, if you're training, lets you train harder and better longer.
And more effectively.
And more effective.
Exactly. Yeah. So reading, I think it all comes, a lot of that comes down to, again, the ability to focus and train your brain to be able to have a focal point of this book, whether it's a digital book or a real book. I prefer real books.
Me too.
Like paper.
Yeah.
But being able to focus on that, and, you know, it doesn't really matter what you read. If you want to read Archie comics, read Archie comics. But, like I said, I've been reading a lot more spirituality stuff. I'm not much into fiction stuff once in a while, but I prefer real life sort of scenarios and experiences, whether it's someone's biography or whether it's just someone telling their story, their journey, and whatever it might be. So, you know, I think it's important to find a realm that really interests you. Mm-hmm. And for some people, that is fantasy fiction, where they can just get lost in it and they just can picture everything that's happening all at once and, you know, have this own image in their mind. That's what it was like when I was younger and I read The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings and all that for the first time. It was, you know, I had this crazy image in my head going on about what the world looked like and who the characters, what the characters look like and the dragon and all that, you know. But lately I found I'm much more involved in real
mm-hmm.
books.
Well, I think you're right. And that was the big thing. Like, I'm dyslexic, so I couldn't read, couldn't write, couldn't do math, struggled with learning. So my parents decided, what's more important? Should we try to get them to be more math science, or should we get them on the reading bandwagon? Because, mm-hmm. well, and they're like, reading ties into everything. You can't even put together back then a table without an instruction manual.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So yeah. You need to know how to read. And so they just found out whatever I was interested in, they just bought me books and comics and all that. And Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I got Star Wars books, Star Wars comics, anything Star Wars, novels. And that just got me interested in reading. And then from there, I just started reading anything, really. And now I'm like you. I love nonfiction. But I also will then every once in a while jump back into a fiction book just for fun. And I like horror and
that kind of
adventure and crime. So yeah, no, I think that's the important thing. And I just think even if you're not someone that works out, I just think it's a good hobby to take up, especially in this day and age. Like every day, one day a week now, I take a digital Sabbath. So I don't go online. The computer's off, the phone's off.
Yeah.
Unless there's an emergency, and I just ignore it. And I found that has helped me maintain just even more focus, because I'm just away from all that noise.
Yeah. Which
most of it doesn't help you at all. And I'm more focused. So then, and I'm more inclined then, because I'm more focused, to do the things I need, like to eat better, to be more active, etc. And I find reading is a big component of my digital Sabbath day, just to pick up a book.
Well, yeah. And, you know, as we've talked about before with all our mental health episodes and stuff, the brain health is incredibly important. And it was a long span of my life, the last couple of years, where I barely read. I just would try and I just would get a couple pages in. And again, the focus wasn't there. The interest wasn't there. I just, no. Even can't if it was a book, I was like, oh, I'd go out and buy books that I was really interested in. And then, you know, a 300 page book would take me like 6 months to read. Whereas, you know, lately I've been reading 40, 50 pages in an hour and a half, because I can read quick when I decide to do it and when it's something that interests me. So, you know, so taking that long break from reading and then now getting back into it and making it a habit has completely changed, again, my focus on many other aspects of day-to-day life, right? It enables me to, if I'm training someone or if I'm doing something, some other work thing, if I'm getting off track, or if I feel that I'm all of a sudden the pen is sitting on the paper instead of writing all over the paper, then I can just, okay, yep, get back on track. You know, I don't know where the heck my mind just went for 5 minutes or 2 minutes or 30 seconds, but okay, back on track. And yeah, I find that helps quite a lot. And, you know, with training yourselves, that focus, a lot of people like to just go to like a boot camp or a big group training session where they don't have to think of the exercise, remember how they're done. They just go into a big group of people and music's playing and there's someone, an instructor directing them and everything. And that works great too, because then you don't have to, if you're not familiar with exactly how to do certain exercises, well, there's someone there that's going to help guide you. That's the other bonus about having a trainer, is that then they can, when it's, you have one of those days where your mind's just not into it, you know, a good trainer will be able to pick up on that right away and quickly redistribute what their plan was for the day, instead of a hard punch and workout where you're going to get your butt kicked the whole time. It can be a little more focused on a certain muscle group or whatever, right? To bring you back into your focal point, so that, and help settle your brain down a little bit and get you, ideally, get you on the right path for the rest of the day.
Well, exactly. And I think it's just being able to do that and being able to mentally pull yourself back to where you need to be.
Yeah.
Is good. And if, and I found that something like with reading, it's been a good barometer for that. Cause I was like you, like I would sit even like say 5 years ago, I would sit every night and read, but I'd only get through 10 to 20 pages in an hour.
Yeah.
Cause it'd be, you know, read a few words, stop, look around, check the phone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it was like almost like a switch going off because I was just doing it more and I was able to pull myself back more. And then it was like, you know, 30 pages in an hour, 40, 50. Now I'm like you, I can crank through 60. Of like dense stuff, like you know what I mean. Not not like, you know, like the latest James Patterson book, which I mean, an 8-year-old could read. No offense to Mr. Patterson, because he's a New York Times bestselling author, and I'm not. But
and we know that he's an avid listener of the show.
Yeah, so yeah. Right. No offense, Mr.
Patterson. But please continue to download.
Yeah, but it's it. But the point is, you, like a nonfiction book generally is a slower read.
Yeah,
because it's just
it's dense.
It's dense.
So you're, big you're, words. There's a lot of complicated explanations and details and stuff, right? That aren't just, oh, the man walked down the dark alley and he was wearing, you know, like that's a different type of detail than, again, those nonfiction books.
But you can still get through 50 pages in an hour and still comprehend it because you're focused on what you're doing. And I think that's a big takeaway, is it increases your focus. And if you're training to compete or just for good health, we've talked about it a lot, you need that dedication that requires focus.
Yeah, exactly. And because, again, if you're training in a big gym facility, you know, it's really, really easy to get distracted. There's music playing in your ears, plus music playing in the gym, plus people wandering by and people that catch your eye and people that wave and want to talk to you. And, you know, there's all those distractions, and being able to maybe take a minute to say hi to that friend or that person or whatever, and then quickly get back to what you're doing and right back into that mindset that this is the workout I'm doing and this is exactly how it's going and I'm having a kick-ass workout, that is all, that is focus, right? Mm-hmm. So you can train your brain to have better focus, and reading, and as I'm finding out more, meditating is is a very good teacher for that. You know, it's a very good training ground for that, and way to make it that if you can sit there in the quiet of your house in a comfy chair and spend 10 minutes focused on breathing and body scanning and labeling and whatever other terms you want to throw out there, that you can learn to apply that to everyday life. Like, again, when you're working or when you're training at a gym or when you're driving down the street, a lot of people you see, you know, like the people that are still stopped at a green light for 10 seconds after it turns green because they're off in Neverland, right? So focus is such an important aspect of so many things that if you can train that and get your mind to be able to focus on the task at hand, the present, you know, you're almost unstoppable.
Yes.
Right? In a non-superhero sort of way.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? No, big time. When I was with boxing, like Sifu and his son, Brian, like they meditated, they read, they were very focused trainers. You know what I mean? Very focused fighters.
Yeah.
Very well. And I think it's just, I think there isn't one truly successful person in the world, like really successful, who doesn't read and doesn't advocate for reading. And a lot of the great leaders in history, like Churchill, Eisenhower, they all read. They were all avid readers.
Yeah, there's pictures of all of them all the time with books, glasses on and books in their hands and all that sort of thing, right? And that's, you know, and again, it doesn't really matter what you read as long as it's something that enables you to train that focal part of your brain to really be engaged in what you're doing.
Yeah.
And again, like the types of books I've been reading lately are ones that are a little deep. So I'll read a couple of pages and then shut it for a minute and take a few seconds to really think about what I just read and make sure I understand it before I move on. Because a lot of those sort of books that I've been reading are the type that are a progressional thing. You need to understand this concept or this belief before you move on to the next. Because then otherwise you're going to get 15 pages ahead and they'll be like, well, when we talked about this earlier, and you'll be like,
what did I just, about what?
I remember that word, but what the hell was it? Right?
Oh, so it happens to me. Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes, yeah. So, you know, and that key too is that, as we've talked about with consistency with your diet and with working out, is if you're reading and you find yourself getting distracted regularly by picking up your phone or, you know, or looking outside or petting the dog or the cat or, you know, getting another cup of coffee or whatever it is, and you're constantly, you read half a page and you put it down, you go and do something, right? Then you realize that not getting frustrated with that and going, oh man, I guess this just isn't for me. I can't do this. Realizing it, just like when you're meditating and it says, you know, to just acknowledge what you've done, that your mind went off track and you went off and got your 14th cup of coffee this morning. Pull it back and you go, okay, no, I'm going to do this again. And just keep getting better at it. It's just like lifting weights. You know, you start off at 20 pounds and then if you're consistent and work hard, you'll get up to 30 pounds. And if you're consistent and work hard, you'll get up to 40 pounds.
Exactly.
Right? So it's training the brain. It's just as difficult as training the body is. But you have to have that dedication and consistency in order to make it effective and make you get yourself where you want to be. So if you want to be able to sit and read, like you and I have been doing lately, 40, 50 pages in an hour of good, dense material. If you want to be able to get to that point and you're only at 10 pages right now in an hour because you're too distracted or you read slow or whatever, you don't have to have, oh yeah, I want to be like that and hit 40 pages. No. In an hour, as long as you're comprehending and understanding and focused on what you're reading, it doesn't really matter what you're reading.
No, it doesn't. And there is something too to be said for, there is a sense of accomplishment when you get like this 400, 500, I remember reading It. Stephen King's It, which, yeah, I think is 1,200 pages.
I believe you're right, yeah.
And I sat down, I remember when I was going to start, I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm never going to finish this book. Like, I am never going to finish this book because it's huge.
Yeah.
And it took me, I think, 3 months back then, 3 or 4 months. But I finished it. And the sense of accomplishment at finishing, it's like having a good workout. It's like, I read this big effing book. I did that.
That was like me with The Stand when I
read The Stand. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Because that's another 1,200 or so pages, I think, of his.
That's when whatever he wrote was at least 1,200 pages. There was no short book.
Yeah. Stephen King's. And that, with those sort of books, it comes in handy to work out too because they're heavy.
Well, especially if you get the hardcover.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, this is like an 80-pound book.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, it is. It's a sense of accomplishment. And even with the smaller books that are dense, heavy material that you really have to comprehend and understand to make it worthwhile, even if it's 250 page book, you put that down once you're done and you're like, okay,
yep,
that was good. I learned stuff. I feel different. It's changed my philosophy on this or my outlook on that, or, you know, and as long as it's helping you grow. And again, fiction books can help you grow too. It's, you know, your imagination and your mind can just expand into this unknown world or, you know, whatever it is, but you're still growing. You're still training your mind. You're still working your brain, which again will help you in all other aspects.
Oh yeah, and for people who you know, maybe feel guilty for reading fiction, some of those can capture the human condition just as well as a nonfiction book.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? And you can learn just as much about life in a really well-written, good book.
In a completely different viewpoint.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, yeah, okay, well, does that dragon symbolize something in everyone's day-to-day
life? Sometimes they do.
And often they do, yeah. So if you can read that and then get to that level of comprehension when you can think about, oh man, this is just like that, you know, my ex-mother-in-law who this and this and this, you know, or whatever it is, and you can relate all that. Sure, that might not be what the author intended. Maybe the author intended something to do with the work and the boss, and, you know, but what everyone takes from reading is different, and that's what's great about it.
I think a lot of people equate their ex-mother-in-law with dragons, but that's just
not me.
No, never
you. No, not me, definitely. So
they're reading.
Yes. So finding stuff to read, of course, after you've listened to the Anatomic Fitness podcast.
Right. Podcasting is also a valuable pastime.
Exactly. Exactly. Because, you know, we take 20 minutes of your time in a day and you laugh and you think, wow, these guys are idiots, but I got to keep listening to them because they're great. You know, but yeah, reading. And like I said, finding that time to read. It doesn't matter what time of day it is. It has to be when it works for you. I do it in the morning because my house is quiet.
Yes.
You know, my kid's still asleep at 6 a.m. You know, and I have my coffee and I've had my shower and I'm all like cleansed, ready to go. I'm ready for the day, and taking that again, half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever it ends up being, to just lose yourself in that experience, I think is pretty important. And then it most often does set you off. And not every morning is perfect. It's not like I sit there and read for an hour straight every day and it's like, oh man, I feel amazing. Some days ahead is, even with the meditating, no matter what, sometimes the mind is just going off on other subjects. And at those points, sometimes I'll just go, you know what? Okay, reading's not for me today. Put the book down, you know, or maybe even grab something different to read that's not as intense or not as deep. Or just listen to other music, or, you know, just find something else to focus on, because, you know, it's not going to happen every day.
No, like training.
But as long as you're trying it every day.
You got to try. You got to go in every time and say, okay, I'm going to do this. And you brought up a good point. I find it's good to read, have about two books on the go. That's just me.
Yeah.
Like one kind of just a light book five or whatever. Some people read 3, 4, 5, 6. They got one in the jaw, they got one in the living room, they got one by their bedside, just because different book for a different moment of the day, a different mood.
Yeah.
Right? And which I think is important too. And that way you don't really ever get bored or tired of reading.
Yeah. So again, that's a great point too, is, you know, like I do have currently have, five. One I just started, so, you know, four in a tiny bit. But, you know, again, and a couple of them are similar subjects by different authors. And then, you know, then there's a couple that are biographies, one of sports figures, one of historical figure, you know. And so then, yeah, if I start reading one, and like I said, it's just, no, I'm not feeling this one today. I thought I was planning on it. I was excited to read it. I remember, you know, like now I look forward to it in the morning. It's like, okay, I want to get my shower done so I can go and read. But yeah, then I'll sit there 5 minutes and go, nope, not speaking to me today.
Yep.
Put that one down, grab a different one. Yep, this one works. And then off you go. You know, so yeah, trying multiple types of books, and try one that you've, a style that you've never read before, maybe. You know, if you find yourself in a lull,
yeah,
maybe you've been reading a ton of fiction or a ton of nonfiction, and you're like, oh, I'm kind of bored of this now. Go outside your normal comfort zone. Look up good books on the internet and go, okay, well, these ones are all reviewed by a lot of people being great, interesting books, whether it's personal growth or spirituality or religion or history or whatever.
Tons.
Yeah, just try something that's normally outside of your comfort zone, and you never know. And relatively speaking, books can be inexpensive.
Oh, yeah.
Go up to Chapters, there's millions of shelves worth of $10 books. Drop $10 on a historical novel, that when that's, you know, Catcher in the Rye or Moby Dick or something.
That's a hard-ass book,
right?
To read.
Moby Dick is painful. Yeah. Like, yes. But, again, that sense of accomplishment.
Yeah.
And you can say, I've read Moby Dick. And then people that have also read Moby Dick look at you and go, that was a tough read, wasn't
it? Tough read, wasn't it? Obviously written at a time when there was nothing competing for your attention.
Exactly. Like, you know. No internet, no smartphones, no television, no anything.
No anything, just books.
You were locked in a house and had only Moby Dick to read. But yeah, but try one of those. There's thousands of classical books out there that are incredibly good reads, and a lot of them back then are not that long.
No, very short. Like there's right? The whole era of the dime store novel, where they're like 120 pages max or something.
So take the time, try one of those, because they're classics for a reason.
Yep.
Except Moby Dick. So, anyways, yeah. So we got some exciting stuff coming up on the Anatomic Fitness Podcast in the next few weeks.
We do.
Yeah, we're just not sure what it is.
Cool.
But we know it's always exciting. So you can find me at James Suds on Instagram or Anatomic Fitness Training and Coaching on Facebook.
That's, you know what? It took you so almost a year, but you got it down pat.
I got it down. And usually lately it's been a slightly better segue than that one, but, you know,
yeah.
I didn't have a brilliant reading morning this morning, so that's probably why.
There you go.
So yeah, so tune in next week. And for Jason.
Yes.
I'm James.
And
you're who?
Jason for, yeah, never mind.
Yeah, that, okay. We'll talk to you next week on the Anatomic Fitness Podcast. We'll be right back.